Have you ever felt that you are on the outside looking in? Have you ever felt like that in your life? Different? Excluded? Isolated? Alone? Many people feel like that for all sorts of different reasons. You might think back to when you were at school as a young person, maybe some of you are still there. You're being on the outside of the so-called in crowd. It's a really hard place to be. Or you might think about in society where people can feel like that. You would like they're on the outside for all sorts of different reasons. It could be their religion, their ethnicity, their job, even their disability. Feel like they're on the outside looking in. As we look at this transformed community, this church in Acts chapter 3, we see the Holy Spirit at work. And in these 10 verses, we see a miraculous sign. And these signs, they authenticated the gospel message. Ultimately, they led people to Jesus. But specifically, here, we see a care and a concern and a love for someone who is on the outside looking in. Now, here's a question to help us apply this text to our lives, just as we prepare to dive into it. I wonder, is the gospel making a difference in your life and in my life? Are we empowered by the Holy Spirit, motivated by love? Are we genuinely concerned for people who are on the outside, for outsiders? Is there a real, genuine, passionate heart and care and love for people who are on the outside? There's a question to keep in your mind as we look at this passage. But let's think of three things. And the third one is really next week, so don't panic. We're not going to say much on that. But three things. A man, a miracle, and a message. But we begin with the man in verses 2 and 3. Now, the setting for this sign you'll see in Acts 3, verse 1, it's very clear. You look at verse 1. It says, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. So Peter and John, they're on their way to prayer at the temple, and their journey is interrupted, if you want to put it that way, by someone who is very much on the outside looking in. Look at verse 2. It says, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. So what do we know about this man? Well, the first thing our attention is drawn to is his disability, isn't it? You were in that verse, we're told, verse 2, that he was lame from birth. Now, later on in Acts 4:22, we learn that this man was over 40 years old. So he'd been around for a wee while, but he's been unable to walk for that whole period of time. It's a long time. Now, in that society, that culture all those years ago, there was a real stigma around disability. Many tragically, mistakenly said that people were disabled because it was a punishment for their sin. It's hard to get our heads around, isn't it? Disability in that culture, in that society, was often viewed even as a death sentence. Disability meant that people were excluded from many of the everyday things that happened, things that people took for granted. There was no support, there was no state benefit system, there was no social care. This man was in a desperate situation. He was totally dependent on other people. And I want you to notice this. You were told here that he was carried around. He was carried around. And significantly, this man was an outsider in a relationship to the temple, to religion, to worship. You're way back in the Old Testament, Leviticus. Leviticus is quite hard to read at times, isn't it? If you pick a cup of coffee and read Leviticus, we might all struggle. But in Leviticus, it talks a lot about worship and sacrifices. Leviticus 21, verse 18, in that sort of context, it says that no man who has any defect may come near. No man is blind or lame, disfigured or deformed. That's the context of all of this, the history. So this man's everyday reality is being on the outside, being carried around everywhere he went. Notice in that verse, he is put at the temple gate. And it's quite ironic, isn't it? The temple gate is called Beautiful. This was a big, spectacular bronze gate, 75 feet high, very ornate, beautiful setting. But this man is carried around. He's put at this gate. And this really was the prime location for him, essentially, to beg. To beg, to ask for alms. He desperately hoped that the worshippers going into the temple would remember their obligations to care for the poor and they would give him something. So this man, mainly due to his disability, is an outsider. He's an outcast. He is excluded. He's helpless. He's dependent. Hopeless. A few years ago, I came across a survey in the United Kingdom. And the results of this survey were quite shocking. It found that 85% of adults aged 18 to 34 with a disability felt lonely. And shockingly, even more shockingly, 26% of non-disabled people admitted to avoiding engaging in conversation with those with a disability. Now that's today's world. That was, I think, 2020. Can you and I even begin to imagine the loneliness and the isolation of this man over 2,000 years ago? He was in a desperate situation. And look at verse 3, because we're told in verse 3 that he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple and he asked them for money. Now, how do Peter and John respond to this? They have had a lot going on, haven't they? You think back, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, the birth of the church. How do they respond to what might have felt like an interruption to their journey? They're going to pray at the temple. Well, they didn't see it as an interruption. They didn't avoid engaging in conversation with this man. They didn't see this man as a sort of statistic, if you like. They didn't see him defined by his disability. They didn't see him as a hindrance, an annoyance, a bother to them. Look at verse 4. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." It's quite striking here, isn't it? That Peter and John, they see this man. They see the individual. They see someone made in the image of God. They see his need. And this desperate man who has been carried around, put down at the gate of the temple, this man has their undivided attention. They're staring at him. As I look at the text, I wonder to myself, had this man ever experienced anything like this in his entire life? Most other people ignored him. Most other people avoided engaging in conversation, went the other way, pretended he wasn't there. And yet here are Peter and John staring straight at him, seeing this individual. Peter and John have been filled with the Holy Spirit, isn't that right? Pentecost. They're empowered by the Holy Spirit. They're motivated by love, and they're genuinely concerned for the outsider. Now I wonder, as you and I think about our lives, do we see people like that? Do we really see people? Do we see people who are on the outside looking in? People who are different? People who are excluded? People who are isolated and alone? Do we see people with disabilities? Do we really see? Shouldn't that sort of seeing, that sort of care and love and concern, shouldn't that be evidence of the gospel? Shouldn't that be evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives that we're seeing? So firstly, we see a man. But then, verses 48, we see a miracle. Many years ago, and it is quite a long time ago, I used to be a physiotherapist. Some of you may know that. Don't ask me for any advice because I wouldn't be any help to you. It's a long time ago. But when I was a physiotherapist working in the trust in the hospital up on Newry and Daisy Hill, I was involved a lot of the time in what we called rehabilitation. And we all get what that means. You know, people had injuries, people had surgery, and they had a period of time where they were relatively inactive, so not doing anything, lying in a bed, and not able to function as they normally would. And rehabilitation is something that always takes time. I'm sure many of you have been there. It's long, it's painful, it's slow, it's frustrating. And as I look at the story of this man, I often think to myself of people who I met when I was a physiotherapist. You know, people who had been inactive, people whose muscles had become weak and atrophied and hadn't been using them in a long time. And the reality is that they don't become strong overnight. Rehab doesn't happen just like that. We would love it if that was the case. Have hip surgery, back to normal life the next week. That's not how it works. This story always strikes me because this man was absolutely desperate. Verse 5, he asked for money. And he must have expected to get some money from Peter and John. And I want you to imagine his response initially to what Peter says to him. Because Peter says, "You silver or gold I do not have." You could almost sing that, couldn't you, the wee chorus? And if you imagine in that moment, this man who's desperate, his face must have dropped. He's asking for money. He needs some financial support. And Peter says, "My wallet's empty, I've nothing to give you, no money." He must have been disappointed. But then, look at verse 6. Let's read that in its entirety. Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk." And Peter reaches out. He sees the man, he reaches out to the man, he takes him by the right hand, he helps him up, verse 7. And this is what really strikes me with my background in physio and rehab. Because we're told here that instantly, the man's feet and ankles become strong. His muscles hadn't been activated by his brain for over 40 years. Totally atrophied. So weak. And yet instantly he becomes strong. Instantly his joints all go back into place again. Instantly they can bear his weight. Staggering, isn't it? And immediately, verse 8, he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Don't lose sight of the miraculous nature of what happened to this man all those years ago. This is not just a temporary fix of a few coins. This is permanently life-transforming. And this miracle, it's not about how great Peter and John are. Peter addresses this man's need with the authority and the power that is only available in the name of Jesus. Here's one of the signs that were causing people to be filled with awe. Chapter 2, verse 43. Here's a sign that authenticated the apostles' teaching, the gospel message. Here's a sign that led people to Jesus. And if you look at verse 8 again, you'll see it's a beautiful picture, isn't it? This man jumped, and he was jumping around. And it's a very significant word there, because in the Greek Old Testament, in Isaiah 35, verse 6, it's the same word. In Isaiah 35, verse 6, it says, "The lame will leap like a deer." And all of that points forward to the messianic age, to the Messiah coming, to Jesus. It's one big story, isn't it? It's all about him. One writer shares a story about an English Salvation Army drummer. And this drummer, he was beating his drum so hard that the band leader had to tell him to pipe down a wee bit. It was too loud, it was too much. And in a Cockney accent that I'm not going to try and replicate, this is what the drummer said. "God bless you, sir. Since I've been converted, I'm so happy I could bust the bloomin' drum." Made me laugh anyway. Yeah. But to me, that seems to fit with the experience of this man in Acts chapter 3. You look at the second part of verse 8. Notice his reaction. And notice, importantly, where he goes. Verse 8, he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Remember where he'd come from. This man was excluded. He was desperate. He was on the outside. He wasn't allowed into the temple. And yet now, he's not beating a drum, but he's so full of joy. He is jumping around. I can imagine him dancing around. He's full of joy. And notice where he goes. He goes with Peter and John into the temple courts. He's going in. So later on, chapter 3:16, we'll get there next week. Peter explains that it was by faith in the name of Jesus that this man was made strong. He was healed physically. He was able to walk. That was miraculous. But even more than that, I have to believe that when we see him jumping around here, when we see him dancing and praising God, we've got to believe, surely, that this man had his heart changed as well, that this man was converted, that he received so much more than the money he had asked for, that actually he received so much more than fully functioning legs. This man surely must have received Jesus, the gift of salvation. You know, that's the miracle that all people everywhere desperately need more than anything else. Isn't that true? So there are a lot of things in this world that we think we need, things that we want. But the reality is that all of us are lost. All of us, because of sin, are far away from God. All of us, spiritually speaking, actually are outsiders. We're all outsiders by nature. And we've got to see, flowing out of the text here, that there is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus to heal this desperate, excluded man. And there's power in the name of Jesus to save, to rescue, to redeem anyone and everyone, no matter who they are, where they've come from, what they've done or not done in their life. I love the words of a song by Wren Collective. It says, "There's no outsiders, dear love. We're all welcome. There is grace enough. When I have wandered, Lord, your cross is the open door." Love those words. There's no outsiders to the love of God. No one is too far away. No one is too far gone. I wonder if you experienced this miracle for yourself, the miracle of new birth, the miracle of salvation, the miracle of new life, the miracle of forgiveness. If you have, I wonder, are we, as God's people, as the Church of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Spirit, are we reaching out to a world full of desperately lost people who need to hear about this? So we've looked at a man, we've looked at the miracle, and as we look ahead to next week, and this is really mostly next week, but verses 9 and 10 set the scene, because we see that this miracle, this sign, opened up a window, drew an audience to a very important message. Look at verses 9 and 10. "When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Can you picture the scene here? Can you imagine these people going up to the temple to pray and to worship? They've been doing that for years. And every time they went up to the temple to pray and to worship, they passed the same man He was over 40 years old. He was always there. He'd been carried, he'd been put down, and they passed him by for years and years and years. Can you imagine the scene on this day when this man, he's not where he always is. He's not helpless. He's not dependent. He's not on the outside. But this day, he is jumping around praising God because what God has done in his life. Do the people are literally bewildered? I often think about it. They must have been rubbing their eyes, wondering, is this actually real? What has happened here? They're astonished. They can't get their heads around it. And before this triggers opposition, before the religious leaders come on the scene, and we'll get there in a couple of weeks, this spectacular, miraculous sign gives Peter the opportunity to preach another sermon. And we'll think about that next week. And he's going to preach another sermon that once again directs people's attention towards Jesus. It's an amazing true story, this, isn't it? How God works in the life of someone who was on the outside. How God changed this man's life, changed this man's heart, changed this man's future. And as we look at it, I think that the big challenge that flows out of it, as we think about application, what difference does this make in our lives? What difference does this make this week for us? Well, I think we have to come back to this. If we have been changed by grace, if we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, if we have trusted in the name of Jesus, then surely we ought to be people who are seeing the outsider, who are seeing those who are excluded in society, who are seeing people who are living outside of Christ. I'm not just seeing, because Peter didn't just see, did he? He could have just saw the man and went on to pray in the temple. He saw and he did something about it. I wonder this week, will we pray for opportunities to see people who are on the outside and pray for grace that God would equip us to bring Jesus, to bring the gospel into those people's lives? Shall we take a moment just to pray? Let's pray. Father, as we think about this staggering story, Lord, we're so thankful for the way in which you work by your Spirit in people's lives. Father, thank you that there are no outsiders to your love. And as we think about the people in our own lives, as we think about our families and friends, our neighbors, our work colleagues, as we think about the community we live in, God, we know that many people are living outside of Christ. Many people are living without any real hope. Many people are searching for satisfaction. God, we pray that you would equip us, that you would empower us by your Spirit to help us direct people towards Christ, the one in whom hope is found, the one who is light and strength, the cornerstone. Father, we pray that people around us would come to know this gift of love and that you would use us as part of you building your kingdom here and in this community. That's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and we're going to sing.